Okay, great. So thank you all for coming to this second structure of Torah Shabbat, Chaburashi, or whatever it is. Last week we discussed a very basic question: what was given in Har Sinai? And we saw that there seemed to be three different opinions in Chazal already, and definitely in the Rishonim and Achronim as to what was given in Har Sinai. The first opinion, we're going to see it again today, is that everything was given in Har Sinai. All the Raisas, all Drashos, all the Rabbanans, all future Halakos were given at Sinai. The Rabbanans is a little bit of an issue, but it seems like everything could have been given at Sinai. Second approach was that what the Rambam says, that the Klalim were given at Sinai. Hashem gave Moshe all the basic mitzvahs, the rules, the methodology of Drashos, so how to derive new Halakos, the basic principles of all the mitzvahs and the methodology to develop the details. And those things were given at Sinai, and details were developed later on. And the third opinion we saw at the end of last week was that Hashem gave Moshe all of the halachos, but not all the psakim, in the sense that he gave them all the variations, and he gave all different cases, and he gave them 49 reasons to say one way, 49 reasons to say the other way, and he said, you guys have to choose what the halacha should be. Yeah.
Probably might have covered this last week, but with the first opinion that everything was given, how do we factor Lo B'Shamayim in, if at all?
Oh, so great question. We will deal with that next week, hopefully, when we deal with Lo B'Shamayim. Mm-hmm. The first three are all going to be very, very interrelated.
I'm very happy.
Good pleasure. So that's important background for this, because all three of those opinions are going to factor into how we deal with Machlokas. How do we understand the fact that there's Machlokas among the different Tanaim and Amoraim? So just the first source is the most basic one about the nature of Machlokas in Gemara. And it's the Gemara about Elo ve'elo debrei elokim chayim. So let's just read it quickly. The Erev and Dafid Gimel ve'beis. Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel. Shalosh shanim nechalko be'shamay ve'sol. There were 3 years be'shamay ve'sol argued about a certain halacha. Halal omrim halacha kamoseinu. Halal omrim halacha kamoseinu. Each group says halacha is like us. Yatzad Askel, Amram the Baskel came out and said, Elo ve'elo debrei elokim chayim. That these and these, Beisham and Beisalo, they're both the words of the living God, Falacha ka Beisalo. But still, practically, we have to follow somebody, so we're going to follow Beisalo. So the Gemara asks, the Chimiachar and Sheilo Veilo, Divrili Kim Chayim, if both Beisham and Beisalo are both the words of the living God, they're both true to a degree, Nema Zacho Beisalo, Lekhvalachamosan, why do we pass him like Beisalo if they're both right in some degree? Rene Shinokin Va'aluvin Hayu, because Beisalo were more humble, and they were able to take insults. They weren't standing up for their own kavod. Mishonin Divrayan with Divrei Beishamai. And they learned both their own words and the words of Beishamai. They didn't just teach their own halacha. They thought, this is what Beishamai says, and this is what we say. V'lod Elishem Akdivin Divrei Beishamai the Divrayan. They actually always proceeded to teach what Beishamai said before they taught what they themselves say. So. There's a machlokas, Elo ve'elo divrei elokim chayim, everything is right, halacha ka Beisalo. The reason why we pass on the Beisalo seems to be for moral reasons, not because in an epistemological sense or epistemic sense, the Beisalo is more accurate to some degree. Great. So the question is, if you really hold of this first approach, which is that everything was given at Sinai, and then you have all these machlokas between Beisham and Beisalo, and we're saying Elo ve'elo divrei elokim chayim, so like, how do all these things supposed to jive? Everything was given at Sinai, so then everybody should know what the proper halacha is. There shouldn't be machlokas at all. And if there is machlokas, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. So how are we supposed to understand the fact that everything has some value?
Question.
Yeah.
When you say that everything was given at Sinai, do you mean that all machlokas were given at Sinai, or like all halachas were given at Sinai?
Yeah. So the first approach we're going to see is that if you look at the first source from last week, which you can't look at, is that everything. You see that was in color, it's much better. Is there even a picture there? I had to draw people in the first week with the color and the picture, and then once you're coming, everything was given at Sinai in terms of Pesach Halakha. Like there was one halakha all the way down. So the second source is the second half of one of the sources there is the Ravid. Not the Ravid that we're familiar with, but the Ravid. The first Ravid, who lived a little bit earlier than the Ravid we're familiar with, he wrote a book called Sefer Kabbalah, which is basically a list of generations of people who transmitted the Torah to each other. So he says everything was given at Sinai, and that's why I'm giving you this list, so you should know that this is the transmission, this is the line of transmissions of this Mesorah. So then he concludes his introduction for the following important point. Bim Naksha Adam Lomar, let's say somebody will whisper in your ear. Nema Nakoku the Kam Makamos. There's so many machlokasos. So therefore, I doubt the fact that they actually have an accurate tradition. Afatay, afatay hakei chino. He should knock out his teeth. The guy's a Zakei Mamre. He's rebelling against the Besdin. There is no machlokes, this he's probably accurate about, there's no machlokes about the main principles of a mitzvah. There's no machlokes about what a sukkah has to look like. Nobody thinks that the alaminim have to be used as skok for your sukkah, like some other Jewish sects thought. All the basic halachos are there. What are the Samaritans? If you read the psukim, you could definitely get that understanding, that the alaminim are connected to the mitzvah of sukkah. L'kachtem l'chem doesn't necessarily mean in your hand, it might mean use it for the mitzvah, which is sukkah. That's what Samaritans did. And that's what they still do.
They put the
alaminim on as a schach on their sukkah.
Okay.
But I'm saying that those types of issues don't get argued about in Chazal. The basic definitions of mitzvos are there. What do you have machlokas about? Ela b'tadoseh, in the derivatives, in the details. Everybody agrees you have to, the pasuk of Ishnatan Levanacha, whatever it is, means you have to say Kriya Shema. It's not clear in the pasukim at all. But everybody thinks it means you have to say Kriya Shema. They have a machlokas about how long you get to say Kriya Shema for. 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is. So why do they have these debates? Sheshamu ikaram rabboseim. They heard the main principle of the mitzvah from the Rebbe. Fulo shalom atodaseh. But they didn't ask about the details, about the derivatives. They shalom shimshu kol tzarkan. Because they were not proper students. They were not meshamesh the Rebbeim properly. So the source for machlokas now is forgetfulness. It's because students didn't care enough about the details of halakha to ask their Rebbeim about the details. Major mitzvahs everybody knew. The details they didn't ask, and therefore the transmission is broken. He's quoting a Gemara in Sota, which read it very quickly. The Gemara in Sota says as follows, source number 3, Mishirevo Talmidei Shalmei V'Hillel Shloshim Shel Pasarkan Rebo Machlokas B'Yisrael. When did Machlokas increase among the Jewish people? When the students of Veshamei V'Hillel were not Meshamish Kol Tzarkan, meaning they didn't ask their teachers about the details of halachos, and therefore certain details were forgotten, and therefore there are debates about them. So the source for Machlokas now is forgetfulness, a break in the transmission. So if that's true, so what sense is the Divrei Elokim Chayim? What sense is the incorrect opinion, Beishamai, the words of the living God? Yeah, Alana?
So according to this, we don't see any machlokas for
Beishamai? So we see hardly any machlokas. If you look through the Gemara, there's machlokas among the Zugos, among the people before we saw Beishamai, but it's about basically one issue, that's Smicha and Karbanos and Yom Tov.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, we don't have recorded machlokasos. And there's
okay.
A Tosefta and Sanhedrin that says, the reason why not, is because there was a Sanhedrin Gadol, and whatever doubts you had, you went to the Sanhedrin Gadol, and they told you what the proper halakha should be. And then the Gemara has to explain, like, why all of a sudden, in the Tannaitic period, machlokas started, and this is one of the Gemara's statements that the people just forgot.
But is it that we didn't have machlokas because we knew everything, or we didn't have machlokas because Sanhedrin was just able to resolve all the problems based on voting?
So the Ravid would interpret that the Sanhedrin always kept the true tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a group of people who knew the truth, so you just went to them and they told you. There are always going to be new cases, like new technology is not, you're not going to have a Masorah for. So electricity, whatever the equivalent of electricity was for people in the Tannaitic period, they probably had to come up with a new halacha about that.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that's part and parcel of daily life and the halachic system was already known. Any doubt being brought to the Sanhedrin was a clarification of what the Masorah was, and not the Sanhedrin coming up with something new. That's the extreme opinion as represented by this Ravid. But then how do you interpret Elov Elov Divrei Elokim Chayim? So the Ravid doesn't address it, but the Nesivos, in his introduction to his Nesivos, his commentary on Kol Shel Mishpat, is worried that he's going to make a mistake in his commentary. So he tries to explain to you what he sees as a value of an incorrect halachic opinion. So source number 4, I don't know if we'll go through everything, but we'll see how much we get through. He says as follows. He says, let's say I'm analyzing an incorrect opinion. So is there any value in that? He says there is value, and I'll tell you what the value is. So source number 4, for afgam sos, and even if all this is true, if I have an incorrect halacha, it is inherently false. There is still some value for the chachamim, for the sages, to have an incorrect opinion. Why? What value is there? They are amru chazal, v'machshila zos tachas yadaka. That the Gemara in Gittin says that sometimes you have a stumbling block under your hand. Ein adam omi al divrei Torah, elim kein nikshavo. The only way to reach the truth is if you first make a mistake. Right? This is like a pep talk. Then how are you supposed to find the truth? At first you try, you fail, and then through the failure you're able to finally reach the truth. He goes on to explain with a mashal of a diver who's trying to catch a pearl. It says that if you're down the bottom of the ocean and there's a lot of dust around, a lot of dirt around, it's very hard to differentiate between a real pearl and just a rock. Once you get up, then you see in your hand that you mistook the pearl for a rock. And once you analyze the rock, you'll be able to next time you go down, you'll be able to discern what the rock is versus what a real pearl is. So the rock is a rock. It's a mistake. It's incorrect. But in the methodology of searching for the truth, searching for that pearl, it's an important step for you and for other people to be able to understand what the actual truth is. So what value is there in an incorrect halachic opinion? If you have a debate and somebody's right and somebody's wrong, according to the right, but there is a right and a wrong answer, the value is, helps you understand what the ultimate truth is. Again, this is not such a expansive view of Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. We're not giving inherent value for the incorrect opinion, but we're giving some value. Yeah, Miriam?
So is he assuming that Beit Hillel was always right and Beit Shammai was wrong, and the only value of Beit Shammai was that, like, it was kind of that rock?
That's again, if there, all these opinions might be more nuanced than I'm presenting them now, but in the extreme, that's exactly what we're saying. If you're wondering why the Gemara has a moral virtue of Beis Hillel, it's the reason why we pass them like them. So Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, wrote a commentary on a book called Klalei HaGemara. So there he's wondering about this, and he says because they were bigger tzaddikim, Hashem allowed them to reach the truth more. Meaning he's bothered by this problem about the connection between them being bigger tzaddikim and passing like them, and he wants to try to fit in with them reaching the correct conclusion. So that's the way you would have to read the Gemara. Great. So that's one approach to Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's a more limited approach. There are some Gemaras that don't sound like this, that sound like we're giving not just, I guess, procedural or methodological value for the mistaken opinion, but something more inherent. There was one Gemara, which is often quoted also, the Gemara Chagiga Gimel Mabez. And just the two basic Gemaras about Machlokas, so the Gemara in Erevin, Yud Gimel Mabez, and this source number 5, Chagiga Gimel Mabez. The Gemara Chagiga really deals with the issue head on. It says, Afu Pasak Vadarash, Divri Chacham Gadarvan Os, the words of the Chachamim are like, the English translation are goads. Something which steers the plow. I don't know what a goat is, but that's supposed to be the function of a goat, to steer the plow. Hamishmaros nituim, bali asufos nitnu miroyacha. Gedervan. So the words of the sages are like goats, things that steer the plow, and they're like nails that are stuck in. Bali asufos nitnu miroyacha. They're the masters of assembly, given from a single shepherd. So the Gemara analyzes each phrase in this pasuk. So skip down one line. Bali asufos. It's asufos. Asufos. Asufos.
What is that?
I think it's asuf. It just means the master of assemblies. They're masters of assembling things. I don't know what it means in shat. I'm supposed to look it up, but I forgot. But so I guess I apologize for that. So bali asufos. Ilo tamidi chachamim sheyoshvin asufos v'oskin b'torah. These are the Torah scholars who sit in groups and they're dealing with Torah. Halalo metamin v'halalo matarin. These are metame and these are matayr. Halalo osrin v'halalo matirin. This group says asr and this group says matir. Halalo poslin v'halalo makshir. This group says pasal and this group says kasher. So that's exactly what the pasuk is describing. They sit in groups and they argue with each other. Sashema yomar adam. Maybe somebody will say, Heichani lame Torah miata. How am I supposed to learn Torah if all the rabbis are contradicting each other? Tamalomar. They're all given from the same from the same shepherd. Parnas echad amran. One leader said them all. Mipi adon kol masin baruchu. From the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Diksiv vaydaber Elokim es kol devarim ha'ila. That Hashem said all of these things. Kol devarim ha'ila sounds like it's including all the various opinions of all the scholars. Next pasuk is Havatei Asi Azaga Karakasas. So it's not the next pasuk. This is Gemara's continuing commentary. You should make your ears like a funnel, like something which attracts everything. Ukninacha leave Mevin, and you should acquire for yourself a heart to understand. Lishmoa Estivri Atamin Vestiv Matarin Vestivri Ousrin Vestivri Matirin Vestivri Poslin Vestivri Makshirin. You should try to listen to everybody and try to understand everything. So, what does this Gemara not sound like the first approach, not sound like the Nesivos, that the incorrect halachic opinion is just there as a way of reaching the correct halachic opinion?
It sounds like all of them are correct.
Yeah, it sounds like all of them are correct. It sounds like all of them are Mipi Adon Baruch Hu. Everything is from the mouth of Hashem. So, it sounds like we're giving more inherent value to all of the conflicting opinions, not just mythological value or procedural value that it allows you to finally reach the single truth. So the Rishonim picked up on this, and we're going to see that according to the Ran, according to the Ritva, this is exactly expressing the second or third approach that we said last week. I forgot which one it was. And all the various opinions for every single case was given at Sinai. So there is room to argue, there is room to reason. That's why Halalo Osirin Valalo Matirin. But all of those svaras, all of the reasonings that got you to those to that psak, were all given to Moshe at Sinai. But Hashem didn't give Moshe what the final psak was supposed to be. I'll just read it inside. In Drashos, the Ran Drasha Kemal, the Ran, in addition to writing commentary on the Rif, wrote a book of Drashos. And so he deals with a lot of these basic structural issues with Torah Shabbat Peh in these drashos. So we're referring to it this week. I think if we deal with Lo B'Shamayim this week, he has a long drasha about Lo B'Shamayim. So he says as follows. He quotes this Gemara in Chagiga, everything was given me Roa Echad. He says, it's Inyan Sarachian. This requires, you have to analyze this. Eik Nomar Shashtei Kitos Machlokas Nimr L'Moshe Min Pia Gevura. So how can we say everything was given to Moshe Atina? There's a machlokas about the exact shear for challah. In truth, one of these opinions is correct. And the other one is the opposite of the truth. How could you say, if you have two opinions, one of them is right, that both of them came out of the mouth of Hashem? So how can we say, if there, again, the Ran is assuming, he assumes this throughout, there is one correct psakalah. They were all trying to strive for, and we'll get back to that next week. But if there's one correct psakalaka, how can you tell me that the other opinion was given by Hashem as well? So he says as follows. He says, "Avo inyan kachu." This is the true pshat of the matter. Shekola Torah shebaksav shebal peh nimser leMoshe miSinai. Everything was given to Moshe at Sinai. K'moshe Amar Megillah, Amar Chia Bar Avin. Amar Yochanan, Ma'atik Sif, Aleim Kol Devarim, quotes a Gemara very similar to Gemara we saw last week. Melamed, Shara'eo, Kodesh Baruch, Lemosha, Kol Tikduke Torah, Tikduke Sofrim, Masha Sofrim, Masil Nachade, Shemani, Mikra Mikil, Tikduke Sofrim, Machlokis, Mikuke, Svaro, Shemikach, Ma'isra. Right, everything, all of the different debates, all of the different opinions were given to Moshe at Sinai. The Chulan, Lamdan, Moshe, Rabino, Alav Hashalom, Yipia Gevura. Moshe Rabino learned all these different opinions from Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu learned that according to one svara, it makes sense that Sosman Kriya Shema should be 3 hours. According to another opinion, Sosman Kriya Shema shouldn't be 3 hours, should be some other time, whatever the time it is. Anitzacham, that's sunrise. So Moshe Rabbeinu learned the svaras for both of those opinions. And Hashem never told them which one is correct. Vizel Inyan Rabbi Lazar Gadol Machakuso, etc., etc. And this is exactly what it means, Lo B'Shamayim, and we'll see the continue this next week, that then it's up to the Chachamim in every single generation to decide which one of these opinions sounds like it makes the most sense based on the rest of the Torah, based on Torah logic. Good, Miriam?
Yeah, and then Moshe taught both opinions or the multiple opinions like to the following generations.
Presumably, yes. We didn't do this last week, but there is some, there's one opinion that the Tosfos Yom Tov in his introduction to his commentary on the Mishnah, it says Hashem told Moshe everything, but Moshe, for educational reasons, didn't give everything over to the next generation. So in which case, there is a break. But yeah, the opinion here sounds like Hashem told Moshe everything. Moshe relayed all of the different svaras to the next generation, but he told them, you have to see what makes the most sense to you based on your total knowledge of the Torah and based on your logical reason.
Like, I'm not so knowledgeable,
but
it doesn't seem like to be the Gemara is like operating that. All are valid options and all are given. It seems like different people have different traditions and we're trying to figure out which is the correct tradition.
Right, so at some point there might have been some breakdown in transmission, which is what the Rav is saying. And that's why all these three opinions, three approaches are more ideal approaches. There's probably some type of combination of both. But it could be there was a breakdown in the Masorah. But it could also be that the Masorah was going straight through, and each opinion is just saying, I think this Svara makes the most sense based on everything else I know about Chumash and Gemara and the rest of Halakha. So, I mean, either way would probably fit into most sugyos. You have to take sugya by sugya to see which one makes the most sense. Probably one of the most well-known sources in sugya of Elo v'Elo is this Ritzvah and Eruv. So I figured, even though it says the same thing as Tehran, I should just put it on this worksheet. Ritva and source number 7, Ritva Erebin Yud Gimel Mabiz, Ilo Vilo Diver Lichim Chaim, this is where the Gemara says it. So, Shalom Rabbeinu Tzarfas, he quotes the French rabbi, Isabel Tosfos, is asking, Heif Efshar Shush named Diver Lichim Chaim, the sale of service and matir. How could it, how is it possible that both Diver Lichim Chaim, one says Oster, one says matir? He says exactly, he quotes exactly what the Gemara the Ran quotes. So he quotes some Saka Sofer that we saw last week. The Tirtsu, Kikesha'ala Moshin Lamaro, Makabal Torah, Hero though I've called Dabar Dabar, Mintas on the Easter, Mintas on the Hatter. Hashem Shem Moshe, 49 reasons why it should be Asar, 49 reasons why it should be Butter. Moshe Rabbeinu asked him, so what should I do? Hashem said, you guys have to choose. Go for it. And that's exactly why Ilo Be'ilo differed the Kimchayim, because each one of these opinions was actually said by Hashem, and presumably then each one of these Saras has some validity to it, even though on a human level, one of them might make the most sense. Yeah,
but don't we say that we're doing Ratzon Hashem by doing mitzvot? So if it isn't, if, I mean, I guess you could say, so then Ratzon Hashem is that he wants you to listen to what Chazal say, but then how are we really doing Ratzon Hashem?
So that is what the Ran, that's a question the Ran asked head on, that's what I'm going to deal with next week. Now that's a sugya of Lo B'Shamayim. If you know for sure Hashem says Halacha should be X, and still Halacha forces you to do Y, so how are we supposed to understand that? So that's the sugya of Lo B'Shamayim, and we'll see some people agree with that, some people disagree with that, but it's certainly the simple read of the Gemara, and that's the Ran is going to have one approach to that. Just one more variation of this idea is the Yam Shel Shlomo. We don't have to read it inside, but the Yam Shel Shlomo is the Shlomo D'Ariya, the Marshal. He wrote a commentary to parts of Shas. So he takes the idea one step further. He says not only did Hashem give Moshe Rabbeinu 49 reasons why it should be Asur, 49 reasons why it should be Mutter, but already in Har Sinai, different Jews, because there are different people, there are different Hashemos, they come to different places and they think differently, each one understood Hashem's halacha differently. Hashem said, Anokei Hashem Elokecha, or whatever Hashem said. And each Jew, some Jews heard Mutter, some Jews heard Asur. Because, again, different people are going to think differently. So these 49 opinions, 49 Svaras, Hashem told Moshe at Sinai, weren't actually here of Moshe, or 49 reasons why it should be Asur, or 49 reasons why it should be Mutter, but Hashem said a particular halacha, and different Jews initially understood Mutter, and some understood Asur for various reasons. So Machlokas stems all the way back from there, from the initial individualized understanding of Hashem's word. It's like a variation of this idea. So far we have two approaches to the Ela Be'ilo Divrei Lichim Chayim. It helps you understand the correct opinion, and we have that all the options were given by Hashem. Another approach is developed a little bit by Rashi, might be implicit in Rashi, but it really gets developed later on in the Achronim. So there's a Rashi in Ksupos, which discusses Ela Be'ilo Divrei Lichim Chayim head on, and he's both very expansive and also very limiting. So how is he very limiting? Let's just read the first line together. It says, let's say you have a machlokas amorayim, about what Atana said. When there's two people who argue, aliba tachad, according to one person, meaning you have Rabbi Yochanan say something, and Rabbi Yochanan's students debate the exact parameters of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Or the Mishnah says something, and the amorayim discuss the exact parameters of the Mishnah. What exactly does the Mishnah mean? Mar amar hachi amar. One amora says, he said this. Amar amar hachi amar plenty. And the other amora says, he said this. One of them is lying. One of them is incorrect. Because if the Mishnah says something, it means something. It means something particular. There's no multiplicity in terms of the way we're supposed to understand the Mishnah. So if there is a single authority says X, his students debate exactly what he said, one of them is incorrect, we don't say about that. So this created a lot of controversy, because most of Shas is about these types of things. So Rashi doesn't seem to hold of Elu Elu regarding those types of things. Great. But where do we say Elu Elu? Skip down to the bottom line. But he says when you're dealing with a new case, and somebody says it should be Asar, and somebody says it should be Matar, he says V'ika L'meimar Elu Elu Divrei L'Kim Chayim. Let's say you're dealing with electricity. We're dealing with a halakha that was never addressed before by a previous scholar, or you're coming up with your own opinion. So that's where we say Elo Elo Divrei Lichim Chayim. Because Zin in the Shayach Haytaima. Because both reasons are applicable in some cases. Shatam is hape lefi shino hedvarim b'shino imuot. Because the reason, the halakha, is going to change based on a small difference in the reality of the case. Meaning, in what sense, let's say you have electricity. So So the Chazon Ish says electricity is asur midaraisa because it's bona, and everybody else says it's not asur midaraisa because it's only derabanan. Great. So they have a machlokas about the definition of bona. So are we supposed to say one of them is actually fully incorrect? So what Rashi seems to be saying is that the halachic principles that Chazon Ish is using to determine that electricity is asur because of bona are true. He might be off in the application a little bit, but the halachic principles he's using are definitely true. The halachic principles that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who argued in Chazon Ish, are using. Oh, right, it's fine. I do the same thing when I'm in phenomenon class. I actually have. Sorry, it's fine. The halachic principles that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is using are also true. The application might be a little bit off in this case. So the application might be off in this case, but the halachic principles and methodology and the ideas they're developing are all going to be true. And when we say it'll be a little different than the Kimchaim, that's exactly what we mean. Maybe not the application in this particular case, but the ideas underlying that shita are going to be true. We don't have, and the Maharal seems to have gotten a little bit messed up on the in the when I was printing it out. For the Maharal,
sorry? The words are just a little squished.
A little squished together, yeah. The Maharal, if you want to read it inside, you can check it up in Baragola Aleph. He basically takes his idea one step further, and he says that not only are the svaras true, and maybe the application is off, but he basically says that the world is complex. The way Hashem made the world is that every single thing in this world is not completely tar or completely tamay, completely asr or completely mutar. There are aspects of it that are tar, aspects of it that should be tamay, aspects of it that should be mutar, and aspects of it that should be asr. And basically what different hakadim are doing is they're tapping into the fact that there's a complex reality out there. And there are what he calls shnei hafachim b'inyanecha, that there are two opposites that are combined in this topic, in this sugya, in this case, and everybody's tapping into a different perspective on the same case. All of the perspectives are true and valid. Well, the question is, which one has to be followed for p'sak halacha? So you have to figure out a methodology of p'sak. But no opinion in Shas is completely wrong, because we're dealing with a complex reality, and different svaras are going to be applicable to be matayah or matame, the exact same thing. And he quotes a Gemara that says, in order to sit on the Sanhedrin, you have to come up with 49 reasons why Sharetz is really Tar. Torah says, Pasuk says the Sharetz is Tameh. Torah says you have to come up with 49 reasons why Sharetz is Tar to sit on the Sanhedrin. He says, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to realize the complexity of reality and come up with reasons why even the Sharetz has a Tar aspect to it.
They give a reason?
The Gemara doesn't give any, it doesn't tell you what they are. No. Mm-hmm. Like, The Gemara does. The Gemara goes through what a possible Sfar would be to be Matar or Sharetz. Yeah. Just to conclude, very quickly, These opinions which we're dealing with have been theoretical, but there's one Tosefta which might actually bring it down to halacha. And the Gemara, the Tosefta, really Mishnah Idios, Tosefta elaborates on it, asks the following question. This is source number 12. The Olam Halacha Gadevei Merubin. We always pass in like the majority opinion. So then why are minority opinions mentioned in Mishnayos? Why are they recorded? So Lo Huskar Duvei Yachet Bin HaMerubin Elo Levatlan. Opinion number one, the reason why the minority opinion is mentioned is to be mevatel, is to nullify it. So everybody should know it's a minority opinion and it's incorrect. We shouldn't follow it. That's opinion number one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Huskaru Divra Yaakov in Amarubin, Ela Shema Titzarek Len Sha'a V'yismechu Aleha. Why do you mention minority opinions? Because there might come a time when you need to rely on it. So we already have we can even stop over there. We have a debate about why minority opinions are mentioned. Either just to show how wrong they are, to show that we can't follow them, or to have in the back of our mind that maybe we'll come to rely on this if we need a kula in certain situations. So what's a machlokas here? So I forgot who says this, but somebody says machlokas here is exactly our issue. Meaning when we talk about ilo differently than chayim, and we're talking about opinions in halacha which we don't follow, how are we supposed to understand them? Are they wrong? In which case, the first opinion over here, that we don't want to not follow it. We want to know that it's wrong. We want to know not to follow it. But the second opinion, the ability to rely on a rejected opinion, in a case of Shas al-Khaq, where it's necessary, sort of shows that there is some validity to it. Not just methodologically, in order to help us reach that opinion, the true opinion, but there is some value, there's some truth, even to the opinion which we reject. And therefore, in certain circumstances, you can even rely on it in Shas HaTachach. Because that will fit better with the second and third approaches we're developing, that either Hashem said everything to Moshe at Sinai, or the Chama are figuring out what the Halacha should be, and every reality is complex, and therefore different perspectives could be true, even within the same thing. So I think I went 1 minute over time. I apologize for that. But,